Humanity has been shaped by moments in which one person approached a crowd with something important to say. I'm John Meacham, and this is It Was Said, Season 2, a creation and production of C13 Originals, a Cadence 13 studio, in association with the History Channel. It Was Said, Season 2. Listen and subscribe for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. Humanity has been shaped by moments in which one person approached a crowd with something important to say. I'm John Meacham, and this is It Was Said, Season 2, a creation and production of C13 Originals, a Cadence 13 studio, in association with the History Channel. It Was Said, Season 2. Listen and subscribe for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Mike Tomlin, he is a national treasure, and I'm wondering if some of the Führer, some of those people calling for him to be fired as head coach of the Steelers in week number 6, when he's attempting to replace a Hall of Fame quarterback, if some of those opinions have maybe died down or cooled for now, I'm sure that they will be revived before long. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. I always go back and answer as many questions as I can over the course of Wednesday, whether it be on Facebook or Twitter, A-Law Radio, and After Hours CBS. So if your question did not get answered, I will attempt to answer it if it doesn't require a novel. Okay, so sometimes the questions just can't be answered in a couple of sentences. But thank you for all of them. It's our staple on the Hump Show. We even tried to move it a couple of times, but it doesn't fit anywhere else. It fits right where it has been for now going on 9 years. We are live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need cash out of your home and a simple way to get it, Rocket can. So you know our social media. I do believe our TD of the Week poll has closed, but as always, you can respond to anything that we talk about on the show here, or you can follow us in either one of our social media sites. I was actually talking to producer Jay about this earlier. Our YouTube channel has gone dormant. has lain dormant. I'm going to have to look that up. Generally, I'm pretty on point with my grammar and with my syntax, but you know, lie and lay, those get interchanged all the time. Anyway, it's not really important, except
Lane's
that
a word.
I know it's a word. I just don't know if it should be laid dormant or lain dormant, you goofball. You didn't know lane was a word?
No, I knew it's a word, but I mean, it says here, I'm just looking more into it, says more referring to a person or animal.
So lie is person, animal. Lie, laid, lain. Okay. So then it would be laid dormant, or I should just use gone dormant. It's been dormant now for a few months because we've been so busy with the fall and with football, but we do have some plans. Mentioned it to start the show. I feel like this is a really bad idea to give each of us knives to carve a pumpkin, but we also think it would be highly entertaining since neither one of us knows how to carve a pumpkin. And we'll turn that into a YouTube video with Halloween coming up. But yeah, so I was asking Jay, like, in addition to our YouTube channel, should we be adding other social media? Because I have friends sometimes who say to me, do you have Instagram? Or they call it Insta. Well, depending on if they're cool or not. And then we also have suggestions for doing TikTok, or I had a Snapchat for a while.
My first TikTok.
See, I mean, if he can do it, then we should maybe consider it. But we can't. There's only two of us, and we've already got more work every day than we can handle. And so we're going to have to stick with YouTube, podcast, Twitter, and Facebook. That's just how you're going to have to reach us. And so if it means we're not cool because we don't have TikTok or an Insta account, which I kind of feel like Insta is a lot of pictures, is it not?
It's mostly all pictures and a couple videos here or there.
Yeah, interesting. I do like YouTube, though, and Jay's the one that got me into doing unique and original videos for our YouTube channel. So I told him, that's it. We're either going to shut it down or we're going to do a new one or the other. And so he reluctantly agreed and suggested we should carve a pumpkin. I just want everyone to know, when it goes horribly wrong, it was Jay's idea. So if you haven't checked out our YouTube video, you can do that. It's also named after the show. If you don't know the name of the show, man, I mean, I try to repeat it for those people who are in and out, in and out. There are people every day, though, who go on our social media and don't know the name of the show. I've even had friends before. This is a classic example, a radio host in Memphis who invited me on his show, and he actually introduced me by saying, her name is Amy Lawrence from CBS Sports Radio, host of The Amy Lawrence Show. And I was like, what? First of all, that sounds awful. And second of all, I am generally morally opposed to shows that have nothing but your name and the word show in it, because I think it's so unoriginal. I'm not a big fan of that. I prefer the creative and the cutesy. But yeah, the Amy Lawrence Show, that was a friend of mine. Didn't know the name.
Come on, bro.
Of the show. Exactly. Seriously. We're not that tight anymore for obvious reasons. So yeah, we want you to know what you're listening to, and we want you to find us on social media so you can do all that with one neat little title, if in fact you do know the title. Jay, how are we going to carve a pumpkin?
With the pumpkin carving kit. I gotta look into it. I'll go on Amazon and see.
No, I have knives. We do not need new knives.
I think they're special knives.
You do not
knives.
Think your family has knives in the kitchen?
No, we got plenty of knives. We got these new, actually, like, really nice, like, knives that cut anything. But
it's
just
a pumpkin. It's not a. It's not a noggin. It's not someone's brain.
I think they're different.
No, we're not.
You need like that. The teeth on them.
I
like.
Have serrated knives.
I know, but I don't think I think there's specific pumpkin carving knives. Unless they just want to sell the kit,
okay,
and that's how they get you.
You're just making that up.
No. You never seen them? I've seen a pumpkin carving kit.
Have you ever seen it anywhere online where it indicates that it's only for carving pumpkins?
Well, the knife that comes with the kit?
The knife, yes.
I would assume you're not going to cut a steak with it, but it's for pumpkins.
No, you can use the same type of knife to cut a pineapple. You ever cut pineapples?
No.
Okay. Pineapples have an even harder outer shell than do pumpkins. Same thing with crusty bread. You use a serrated knife to cut into your crusty bread. This is just, no. All right, you Google it. Pumpkin carving kit.
5-piece Halloween pumpkin carving
kit. And what's in it?
Let's see. The title
is... Did they send the pumpkin?
No, it does not come with the pumpkin.
I mean, that's ridiculous. If it doesn't come with a pumpkin, we're not buying it.
It's got that like skinny kind of swordfish nose looking knife.
I have one of those.
You sure?
Yes, I'm
sure.
It
comes with a scoop.
What does the scoop look like? Couldn't we just use a small cup?
You could, but it's not official.
Okay. For that reason, it needs to be. We need to spend money for it to be an official pumpkin carving kit.
It's got to be official.
Is this going to be my Christmas present early?
Halloween present.
In Halloween? Yeah, right. When was the last time you did Halloween presents?
This year.
If I make you pumpkin s'mores, will you spring for the Halloween pumpkin carving kit?
I'll get the kit. I'll secure the Halloween carving kit.
Will you?
Yes.
And I'm going to bring my own knife just so we each have one.
No, I'm going to get two kits because I know you're going to want to use the kit.
No,
too.
I'm not. No, I'm
not
definitely
sharing my
not.
Kit if your knife doesn't work
I
well.
I thought it was supposed to be a present for me.
Well, if you bring your own knife, then I don't know.
All bets are off? That you're not sharing?
I might be a little insulted and...
Now it's going to be personal if I bring my own knife instead of spending money on the pumpkin carving kit. How can you have a pumpkin carving kit without a pumpkin?
Well, I mean, that pumpkin sold separately, but...
Oh my God.
On the back.
That's just wrong. It can't be a complete pumpkin carving kit if there's no pumpkin.
I don't see the word complete in here. I just see pumpkin carving kit. So that's where they get you. Good call there.
Uh-huh.
They got you on the fine print.
Right. But I
see on the back of the kit, it's got all these examples of things you can draw and stuff I'll never be able to come close to drawing, but it's good motivation. It's good inspiration, I should say.
Okay, just one more question. Could we not find the same motivation or creative inspiration by watching a YouTube video before we make our own YouTube video?
No, we will do that too.
Oh my gosh. This sounds way too labor intensive for me.
This kit's got like 4 different swordfish looking knives. I don't know what to call those, but
how much is this 15 kit?
15 piece kit this one is. $4. I'm gonna get 6 of them.
They're cheap. We do not need 20 pumpkin carving knives. Oh my gosh, we're gonna get fired for having knives in the building.
Everyone gets a pumpkin and a knife.
Well, okay, that's the thing. I'll trade a couple of the knives for the actual pumpkin. No?
I'll bring a couple of knives. You supply the pumpkin?
No. I'm saying let's find a kit that sells the pumpkin.
Oh, I don't know.
It'd be like selling a Thanksgiving meal without the turkey.
That's what they're trying to get off.
Or selling the turkey carving kit without the turkey.
Which I think they do. I'll search for a complete pumpkin carving kit.
Oh, okay. The complete, as in...
Oh, wait. This
we
one
need
in the
pumpkin. It glows in the dark. Now you sound like a sixth grader. Maybe even younger than that. They're going to get you with their glow-in-the-dark advertising.
I am telling you, I'm getting the glow-in-the-dark one.
Oh, does that mean we're going to record a video in the dark?
I think we have to now at this point.
No, okay, this is becoming just...
Halloween, a little spooky.
The absurd. Who gets the pumpkin when we're done with it? Who takes ownership of the pumpkin?
I don't know. It's a good question. Flip a coin.
All right. If it's ugly, you get it.
Or we can display it in the newsroom for everyone to enjoy.
No, they'll throw it out. If we
they won't. They don't throw out anything here.
That's true. Even balloons take about 3 months to get thrown out. Okay, we'll just. I think it's ridiculous for you to spend money on a pumpkin carving kit when I have all these things at home.
I just think it'll add to the experience.
All right. Okay, so all of that on a YouTube channel, you have that to look forward to. So make sure you subscribe or, you know, don't, because who wants to watch us carving a pumpkin?
This one comes with a nice travel carrying case in case you want to bring your pumpkin carving tools on the road.
There's something wrong with you.
Yeah, I get the lot.
What the hell? It comes with a carry kit?
It's very nice, very stylish.
Oh my gosh. The crap that you can buy these days is unbelievable. And still, none of them come with a pumpkin.
No, still no pumpkin.
You know what Kyrie would say? Touching the pumpkin. Not touching the money, but touching the pumpkin.
Touching the pumpkin.
Uh-huh. Perfect for Halloween. It's after
it's
hours.
It's not about the money, baby.
You're lying. It's after hours with Amy Lawrence and producer Jay, who is insistent that we buy a pumpkin carving kit to make fools of ourselves in a YouTube video.
It's already ordered.
Oh, my God. It's not. Okay, this is the most I've laughed all week, and it's not even funny.
I get that a lot, too.
Seriously, we are slap happy. Okay, maybe that's just me. Anyway. I can't believe they don't include the pumpkin. How are you supposed to carve anything without the pumpkin?
Hey, at least you got the
should we have two? One pumpkin to practice on and then like to destroy and then one pumpkin. What happens if we ruin it and it's all on video?
Likely the case. I mean,
we'll never regain self-respect ever.
At least we'll have a really nice kit for next year.
Oh, well, four or five of them.
And I can bring it wherever I want.
The next trip to Mexico, you bring your pumpkin carving
everywhere
kit.
Now.
Wait, does the travel kit have little jack-o'-lanterns on it, like decorations?
They do have options, yes. They have skulls, jack-o'-lanterns, just orange, black cats. Yeah, might just get one of each.
You're a sucker for the packaging, huh?
It's the season.
Okay. This is all Jay. Like, all Jay. I refuse to be humiliated in the same vein as Jay. He's taking all of this responsibility on him. I'm just providing the pumpkin. That's all. That's it. And the running commentary. Jay's carving the pumpkin. Oh, my gosh. How do we translate from pumpkins to... Well, this is easy. As we get closer to Halloween, we get closer to knowing the next World Series champion. Boom! Damn, I'm good at this job sometimes. I'm totally joking. There was no way to transition from carving pumpkins and pumpkin carving kits. Although it is that time of the year, we are into the NLCS game one. Four hits total, as in between the two teams. Four hits total, but two of them were pretty loud.
1-0 pitch. Swung on, hit high in the air, left field. This one's got a chance. Profar going back to the track, at the wall. He jumps. He's out of room. It's gone. And Bryce Harper has homered to left field. And the Phillies have a 1-0 lead. Just a towering fly ball to straightaway left. And it had just enough legs to get over the wall. And the Phillies lead it 1-0.
He's got three infielders on the right side as Darvish kicks and deals. Swung on his hit. Wow. Deep to right field. Titanic shot into the second deck. Wow. The Phillies take a 2-0 lead. Kyle Schwarber signals to the bullpen as he gets to second base. That was as long a home run as you're going to see here at Petco Park.
Yeah, I haven't seen a ball hit like that in a long time. Or if ever. I mean, he that was pretty incredible. I mean, that was it was fun to watch.
Bryce Harper was in awe of Kyle Schwarber's 488-foot home run. In fact, there is a meme out there all over social media now of Bryce Harper with his mouth wide open and people guessing what he was gaping at. Well, it was Kyle Schwarber's ball that was tattooed, 488 feet. Never has a ball gone to this part of Petco Park before. Right upper, I guess center right field. I don't even know what I'm talking about now. I'm stuck on pumpkins. right center field to the upper deck. And there are all kinds of numbers and metrics that make it one of the loudest and longest and fastest home runs ever in the postseason. Scott Fransky on Phillies radio. I did hear, and I don't know if this is the cut that we have because Jay just told me that we have Kyle Schwarber, but I did hear someone ask him, what's it like to hit a 488-foot home run? And his response was, or what does it feel like? And he said it doesn't feel like anything. It's still a big deal.
Obviously facing a good team, good pitcher, and we have to put runs up, and Wheels was doing great tonight. Just to be able to put up a couple runs there, it was enough, and it felt good. That was really cool, and I would have took it if it went in the first row. So home run's a home run, put up a point on the board, and great win.
I'm always down, down the stairs, kind of out of the noise and all that, just so I can, keep my head. But, heard everybody sort of, take off. So I ran up the stairs and I saw it land, and that was pretty crazy. I've never even seen that done in batting practice or anything.
Zach Wheeler, who was in awe of Kyle Schwarber, but Zach Wheeler, he was pretty impressive himself. The way that he mowed through that Padres lineup, allowing just one hit. In fact, only two base runners for the Padres into the ninth inning. They actually had two more in the ninth inning. But in terms of runners in scoring position or real threats, there weren't any by San Diego, because Zach Wheeler and then Sir Anthony, what is his last name? I forgot his last name. They had two relievers. Jose Alvarado was the closer in this game. And they were able to just limit the Padres to one hit and really no major threats. And so the fact that you got three guys, Wheeler, Sir Anthony Dominguez, Jose Alvarado, who only need 109 pitches to get through the entire game is masterful and efficient. 11 total strikeouts, just the one hit. And so to watch the pitching performance alone. Now, Yu Darvish was fantastic himself. He allowed just the two home runs, and they were both solo shots, but only three runs total by the Phillies, all of them off Yu Darvish. So both starters and bullpens did their job, but Harper and Schwarber, who'd been in a mini slump for the last 20 at-bats, it was a huge deal. Yeah, it all goes hand-in-hand. The Phillies right now have everything working.
Zach's performance was outstanding. I mean, threw 24 pitches in the first inning and then fell right in, got a lot of first pitch outs. Two-seamer was really good. All his pitches were good, secondary pitches. And, gave us seven quality innings, and can't say more about it.
Went out there, threw a hell of a game. Couldn't string any runners together, and left a couple guys on base. So he was throwing strikes. He was pounding the zone. I mean, he was attacking the zone. We just hit the ball, couldn't find the gap. Hit a couple hard hit balls, just right at guys. So, but he was just attacking the zone.
Manny Machado admits they had a tough time with Zach Wheeler, though according to Bob Melvin, they just want to get right back on the field. Doesn't matter that it's not even 24 hours. Let's go. Let's try to make up for that game one loss.
Good. Let's get out there as soon as we can. I mean, offensively, we mounted a little something there in the ninth. We always feel good when, we have a chance to win in the ninth inning. Didn't happen. But when it leaves kind of a bad taste in your mouth, so you want to get out there as quickly as you can. They don't need a message. They know we need to come out and take at least one of these at home. Tomorrow's a big game for us. So, I mean, I know it's a seven-game series, but, when you start out at home, you like to try to win that first one. If it doesn't happen, you certainly feel like a little bit more importance on the second game. So we need to come out and swing the bats a little better. It doesn't get much easier. Their guy tomorrow is pretty good too, but we need to be better with our at-bats.
I'm excited if this is the kind of pitching we're going to get throughout the course of the series. Now, Blake Snell has been kind of feast or famine. We saw him pitch extremely well against the Dodgers, but not so against the Mets going back to the wild card series. So we'll see what happens with him. But the Aaron Nola has been spectacular the last, what, 3-4 starts, maybe even going back to the end of the regular season when they were trying to clinch that postseason berth. And I think it's amazing. I don't know how this happens in sports, but such a strange dichotomy between the National League and the American League. And we'll get to game 5 between Guardians and Yankees. But the Phillies and Padres were the last two teams to get into the playoffs. Last two teams. And yet here they are still alive in the NLCS. In the American League, it was the two big dogs. Now the Astros got through a lot quicker than the Yankees, both weather and the Guardians being part of the equation, but it's the two teams that really dominated the league the entire season. But the total opposite in the National League and the stories that you get from these four remaining franchises. We're down to the final four for one World Series, which will in fact happen after Halloween and after all of you have carved your pumpkins. Jay, you're ready for this? We are, of course, going to get a ton of suggestions. Steve just found us on Twitter, A-Law Radio. Get a pumpkin carving book. Gives you knives. He says scrappers. I think he means scrapers. And pokers. And pictures to carve. You'll make something amazing. Oh, Steve, don't encourage Jay. A pumpkin carving book. Now, I have a cake decorating book. I have many baking books. I do not have a pumpkin I have a pumpkin cookbook. Ooh, can we take the guts out of the pumpkin and use it to cook something?
We can.
How do you get the seeds out?
You got to use the scraper. That comes in the kit. Or the
don't
book.
Encourage him, Steve.
See, we need these things.
Oh, people are sending me the photos of their pumpkins being carved. You're right. There's a candle inside. I'm a little bit worried about us setting off the smoke alarms in the kitchen when we do this.
Yeah, that'll be fun.
Yes, it'll be so much fun. In fact, nobody's here at night except for us, so nobody's going to know.
No. We're no. Totally good.
The bosses will have no idea until they walk into the kitchen the next morning and there's pumpkin guts everywhere.
And they're scared by our design because it'll be spooky.
I cannot believe how excited you are about this. Wow.
Yeah, I mean, the kit really got me into it.
Oh, the kit did it. That's it. The black cats. I'm going with the black cats. We need to carve a black cat.
I could do that. Maybe.
Yeah, right. Only after practicing for years, maybe.
I'm going to go buy some pumpkins on the way home. Get some practice in.
I have mini pumpkins. Can we use the mini ones? Probably not.
Yeah, maybe like medium ones. I don't want the huge ones might be a little much to do in here, but the little ones might be a little too small.
Oh, we're going
to
make a huge mess.
Not enough canvas.
In the CBS Sports Radio kitchen, we're going to make a huge mess. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports.
Humanity has been shaped by moments in which one person approached a crowd with something important to say. I'm John Meacham, and this is It Was Said, Season 2. A creation and production of C-13 Originals, a Cadence 13 studio, in association with the History Channel. It Was Said, Season 2. Listen and subscribe for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. Humanity has been shaped by moments in which one person approached a crowd with something important to say. I'm John Meacham, and this is It Was Said, Season 2. A creation and production of C-13 Originals, a Cadence 13 studio, in association with the History Channel. It Was Said, Season 2. Listen and subscribe for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Runners lead first and second with one man out. And the 2-0. Swung on and hit in the air to right center and deep. That ball is gone! Oh my! It is a Stantonian home run. A 3-run blast into the right center field seats. Giancarlo, non si può scopparlo. Now the Yankees, in this ultimate game, take a very quick 3-0 lead. 1-0 coming to Judge.
And the pitch swung on, hit in the air to deep right. That ball is high. It is far. It is gone. It is a Judgian blast. That beautiful inside-out swing, drilling it in the right center field seats. Aaron Judge. And everyone rise. Here comes the Judge.
What?
He homers and the Yankees take a 4-0 lead.
Getting you to the good half of your week. It's the Hump Show on After Hours.
Why did he change his call from all rise to everyone rise? I'm a little confused. Is this a politically correct thing? Is all no longer politically correct?
It was a joke. It wouldn't surprise me.
John Sterling on Yankees radio. And similar to what we saw with the Phillies and the Padres, it was the home runs who did the majority, that did the majority of the damage for the Yankees against the Guardians in game 5 in the Bronx. By now, I'm sure you've seen all the babies that were rocking as a, I would say, a bit of a taunt from the Yankees to Josh Naylor. Of course, he started it with his rocking the baby after getting to Gerrit Cole. So, you know, it's what's good for the goose is good for the gander. No. What goes around comes around, I suppose, would be the right cliche to use there. And the fans were definitely getting into it, as was Gleyber Torres following the last out. He made sure that he rocked the baby. Although, my God, if that's how Gleyber Torres rocks a baby, he should never hold a baby.
I feel like a little bit revenge, I guess, what he do during on the Cleveland series. I mean, it was a little bit disrespect, but it's nothing personal. It's just part of the game, and I think it's our opportunity to enjoy.
He did say revenge. I did hear that from Gleyber Torres. So, yes, be careful what it is that you throw out there. Steph Curry said a few years ago, if you shimmy, you have to be ready to be shimmied on. Or if you shimmy, you have to know you can be shimmied on.
If you can shimmy on somebody else, you got to be all right getting shimmied on.
I was paraphrasing. But that's kind of the same idea is, hey, if you're going to go out there and taunt yourself, you better be ready when other athletes and fans throw it back in your face and taunt you if you don't win or beat them every single time. So yes, Gleyber Torres was the one who is violently rocking the baby. There's a lot of babies that would have headaches after the way that the fans and the Yankees were rocking them. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio. Nestor Cortes, he got the start, and he told Yankees flagship WFAN that he was really excited and actually just went the 5 innings, but did the trick.
I felt confident. I prepared myself this whole season for this moment. I told Aaron Boone yesterday I was ready to go if we were going yesterday, and we got rained out. He told me I had the ball today, so I was excited.
They're a really good team. They're tough to score against. They pitch really well. They catch the ball. They put so much pressure on you. We hit the ball out of the ballpark, which was big for us, and obviously played a big role in it today. It was as competitive a series as you can have, going 5 games, a little bit of back and forth. They pulled one out late on us. I don't know what necessarily the difference was, but it was a hard-fought, close series.
They're hurting right now because they care, and they worked unbelievably hard. But I hope as that wears off, they'll realize just how proud we are of them and how much we care about them. And I also reminded them that this needs to be a starting place for us. This can't just be a good story this year. We need to take this and go. And because I think we have a chance to have something really special.
This is the most special group I've ever been a part of. And I look forward to coming to the clubhouse every single day. What a joy these young guys, the staff, really everybody are. What a joy to work with, it's a year I'm never going to forget. Our plan was to shock the world through the whole thing. We went in the division was the first part, wild card round, put ourselves in position to beat the Yankees, and we wanted to win the World Series. But it's a good Yankees team. But the cool thing is now we got a bunch of dudes with a ton of playoff experience and about the most hostile environment you can imagine. And watch out for the guards next year.
Similar sentiments from Terry Francona, who I miss already, and Austin Hedges, the Guardians catcher, that this experience will not be wasted. And that's the idea, right? Youngest team in Major League Baseball, weren't necessarily expected to be in this position, but you soak it all in, and now you can use that moving forward. A lot of fun, and certainly got Cleveland baseball fans really excited this year with what they were able to do. And so the Yankees move on to take on the Astros. It's a team that they are familiar with. Obviously, they have run into them multiple times. The Astros are into their sixth, and by that I mean the playoffs. The Astros are into their sixth consecutive ALCS, which has never been done before. And weirdly enough, I talked about it last week with Steve Sparks, who's their radio analyst, as well as a former big league pitcher himself. They have flown under the radar. I don't remember the last time the Houston Astros were a topic of conversation outside of the playoffs and the sweep of the Mariners. But for the most part, they've been doing their thing all season long without a lot of fanfare and a lot of attention. Maybe because Aaron Judge and his home run chase and what was happening with Albert Pujols and some of the other storylines and teams that were more surprising. The Astros have firmly been in control and have the best record in the American League now and aren't getting nearly as much attention. Can the Yankees this time break through? They don't have a whole lot of time to turn around and get ready. They had to get on a plane right away, which is why the audio we have for the most part comes from inside the clubhouse and Yes Network. But here's Aaron Judge about getting back to the Final Four.
Extremely proud. This is a great group of guys that continue to show up every single night. You know, no matter what the outcome is, no matter what our backs are up against the wall over leading the series, these guys continue to show out, you know, every single day.
So on to the ALCS. Last four teams standing. Phillies already have the 1-0 lead in the NLCS, and both those series have games on this Wednesday. So Wednesday baseball to whet your appetite. Another tweet about pumpkin carving. So we'll get to that, Producer Jay, because now it's all the rage. We're getting lots of advice, which is good. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, on our Facebook page, too, and then straight ahead. Jim Irsay breaks rank a little bit with NFL owners in talking about Daniel Snyder and Roger Goodell issuing some of his comments following the first day of the owners' meetings in New York.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast. You're listening to After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Firing for the end zone. Caught! Touchdown! Touchdown!
Takes it himself to the
pylon.
Touchdown!
One man to beat 10. He's gone.
They throw in the end zone. Touchdown! Made a guy miss. He's inside the five. He's to the 3-2-1. Touchdown!
Southern's helping into the end zone. Touchdown!
The people have spoken, and one score stands above the rest. Here is your TD of the week. The Buffalo Bills.
Hicks. Josh. Looks to throw, looks in the end zone, fires a strike into the end zone. It is caught for the touchdown. It is Dawson Knox, 2 yards deep in the end zone. Touchdown, Buffalo. An amazing strike thrown by Josh Allen to Dawson Knox for the score. 1:04 left on the clock.
It's not easy. I mean, coming here, number one, against this team, we've had our battles, and I was real proud of the guys and the way they executed in the final moments of the game there.
Sean McDermott. I guess that's Sean raving about his Buffalo Bills offense. Certainly did show up in the biggest moments. After a couple of empty possessions, if I remember correctly, they had a few three and outs in there. I'm actually looking at my notes now for the Bills and the Chiefs. Yeah, after two empty possessions, that's what I wrote down. 76-yard drive by Buffalo. Four first downs. That included the Josh Allen hurdle. Now I can see it in my mind's eye. And the Dawson Knox TD with about a minute to go. John Murphy on Bills Radio, your choice. About half the votes, and hundreds of you weighed in. Half the votes going to the Dawson Knox touchdown, the game winner against the Chiefs at Kansas City as our TD of the week. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Thanks so much for hanging out with us. Top of the hour is when we get cut off. So we're going to smush in as much as we can. You may have seen the headlines, or maybe you heard the comments from Jim Irsay, owner of the Colts. Think he caught a lot of his fellow owners off guard in New York on Tuesday when he spoke out publicly about the owners voting to remove Daniel Snyder as the man who owns the, the Commanders.
I said he should, there's consideration that he should be removed. You know, we have to complete the investigation. But to me, it's something that I think serious consideration has to be given to the removal. and we have complete authority to do that.
Of him or just or the family, period?
I think in general of him being removed and selling the franchise.
Now, the Commanders responded to Irsay with a statement and indicated that no way are the Snyders selling the franchise. They're not thinking about it. They're not going to do it. And that they really take exception to the fact that he's speaking out, Irsay is, without the investigation being completed. Now, this is a separate investigation than the one that the NFL did internally a couple years ago. That was the one that resulted in the leaked emails from John Gruden. This investigation is independent. It's being conducted by a former U.S. attorney. Her name is Mary Jo White, and she's still in process. And according to Roger Goodell, not only do they not have any results at this point, but they've still got a long way to go. And so to talk about Daniel Snyder being removed, the commissioner believes is premature.
I feel that everyone deserves the opportunity to make sure that they know the facts. So speculation is not beneficial. I feel that strongly in my heart. But I also think it's the right thing to do for anybody. Everyone deserves a fair opportunity. We'll see what the results of the next investigation is, and we'll go from there.
So Jim Irsay went on to say that he believes that there would be enough votes for Snyder to be forced to sell the Commanders, and he thinks it's just a matter of time until that vote happens. Roger Goodell was asked if Irsay's comments surprised him, and his response was no, just that, no. He did not elaborate, just went back to his line about how the investigation's not complete. Other owners, though, and we don't have the audio, but other owners were quoted as saying that Irsay was speaking out of line, that he did not represent them. Irsay wasn't, you know, speaking for all of them in saying that a vote could happen or that he thought there was merit. That they thought there was merit for removing Snyder. So multiple owners came out and essentially criticized Irsay for breaking ranks with them. Now, I thought this part was fascinating and very revealing. Irsay was asked what bothers him the most about Dan Snyder and the investigation.
Well, that's not what we stand for in the National Football League. And I think owners have been painted incorrectly a lot of times. By various people and under various situations, and that's not what we're about, you know. And we do care a great deal for each other. You know, there's a lot of friendships in this league and closeness. You know, Bob Kraft just getting married. I talked to him and sent him a gift, and there's just a lot of closeness in this league. And I don't think it. Some of the things I've heard, it doesn't represent us at all. And, you know, I want the American public and the world to know what we're about as owners.
Answer this question. What does him sending Bob Kraft a wedding gift have to do with Daniel Snyder and the accusations? It is very clear that what Jim Irsay is responding to and what bothers him the most is this ESPN report that came out last week in which reportedly, Daniel Snyder was gathering dirt on the other owners and Roger Goodell, almost as if to warn them, hey, if you try to oust me or try to take my franchise away, I'm taking you down with me. Now, I don't know if the ESPN report is true. There are sources that were apparently close to Daniel Snyder that indicate he said the owners all hate each other, blah, blah, blah. It's pretty clear that's what Irsay is responding to. That has nothing to do with workplace misconduct. It has nothing to do with harassment or discrimination or the types of things that were alleged by former employees of the then Redskins, now Commanders. The investigation the NFL did internally resulted in him serving a year suspension away from the team, and he's removed from all day-to-day operations. And Roger Goodell has repeatedly said they believe that that was a very stern punishment. This other investigation is something completely separate. So maybe it results in something different. But at this point, it seems pretty obvious that what bothers Jim Irsay is this idea that Snyder may have dirt on them and that they don't care about each other. Just so you know, he sent a gift to Bob Kraft for his new marriage. Okay. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Again, Roger Goodell was asked about this other investigation with Mary Jo White.
It's an ongoing investigation. That's what we talked about. There were no interim reports. We have not gotten interim reports. We do not provide any because we don't have them. When Mary Jo White is done with her investigation, we will share that with the membership and share it publicly as we committed to before. And I was very clear with them, there's no reason for there to be any speculation at this point in time or discussion until we have the facts.
So one of the things Irsay said is they don't have any any indication about the investigation, which way it's going. He wished they had more information. And what Goodell is saying is, well, I don't have any to give you because it's independent, so we're not privy to what's happening. He was also asked about the new civil lawsuit filed against Deshaun Watson and Deshaun's suspension, which you remember is contingent upon him following all these various guidelines that the league has set up for him while he's away from the team.
He's followed all of the terms of the agreement. As far as any additional, we obviously will follow all of those. If there's new information, we will take that into consideration. But we'll see as the time goes on.
And so at this point, they're saying that Deshaun Watson is on track to return after his 11-week suspension. But I just was thinking about this on Tuesday and kind of blown away by the hypocrisy here. Oh, and it's not just that. It's also the world that we live in with social media, where the mob mentality and piling on one story, and everybody flocks to one story and one headline, sometimes not even knowing the facts. And right now, Daniel Snyder is that shiny object. I'm not telling you he didn't do what he's accused of. I'm not saying he shouldn't potentially have to lose his franchise. But the idea that Deshaun Watson's been accused by all these women of harassment and of sexual misconduct, and according to the judge who was ruling in the case, that, you know, predatory behavior, that she does believe he did what he was accused of. It's like that whole thing just kind of disappeared. And when he comes back on the field, maybe it's a reminder for a week or two, but for the most part, he will have served his suspension and he's good to go with a fully guaranteed contract. But right now, we must remove Daniel Snyder as an owner. I mean, there's just the disparity between the two situations and the disparity. And a lot of that hypocrisy has been created by the owners, right? But it's never applied uniformly from top to bottom, from left to right. The NFL definitely just goes the way the wind blows, right? If there's criticism, if there's outrage, then they respond. If stuff becomes public, then the league responds. All right, we'll talk to you on Wednesday night. It's After Hours, CBS Sports Radio. Boom!